Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Dr. John Holomka needs no introduction at all, and Paul Serrato, author. You guys have a great new book out there, actually, just The Transformative Power of Mobile Medicine. But we'll talk about that in some context here, but at a higher level, because we're all here to kind of think about what's coming for 2019 and 2020. But let's start off with you, John. What do you see as some of the biggest trends, and obviously I'm sure you wrote about them, but trends in healthcare and health IT?
So if you saw today's keynote, as well as you spent last evening reading the 739-page
yes.
ONC rule, the 129-page CMS rule, and the American AI Act,
yes,
all of which happened yesterday.
Right.
Well, what you realize is the current trends is patients receiving their own data, patients as agents of data exchange, patients as contributors of
yes.
data. But, of course, there is the imperative to turn that data into wisdom. And that's where the AI piece comes.
Yep.
So, right, it's this interesting combination of mobility, APIs, and AI yep. coming together.
I love it. And people, a lot of people say, well, AI just seems, we just talk about it all the time, it seems hype, but literally it's not hype at all. It is here today. I actually mentioned that I've run a think tank as well, and in that think tank, just 2 months ago, they said doctors actually wanting to be trained in with AI and how to use AI and keep part of the, and put in their care strategy, their care planning. And I was surprised by that. But now, I mean, literally every single guest that's walking through this show right now, these great thought leaders are all talking about different ways and applicability for AI today and where it's going to be.
And that is, of course, what Paul is writing about right now.
Yeah. Excellent. So what best practices, what are two or three best practices that you can share to successfully navigate those trends, or AI or mobile medicine and so forth?
Okay, so there are a lot of innovations going on right now, and there are companies that are commercializing them. This is not just pie in the sky.
Yep.
Two companies that come to mind is IDX, and another one is Medial Early Sign. IDX has produced a retinal camera associated with a...
That makes sense.
Yep. ...software. Yep. So the patient puts his face to the camera, picture is taken, the software, with the help of neural networking, analyzes the retinal scan, and then comes up with a diagnosis. And it's actually capable of diagnosing diabetic retinopathy yep. as effectively as real ophthalmologists. There have been published studies to show that this is not just something that works in a research setting, but in a commercial setting. And the second company that is doing work in this field, Medial Early Sign, has come up with a algorithm that analyzes your risk of colorectal cancer. And it does that by looking at common everyday data, like complete blood count, your
yep.
age, your gender, and then spits out a risk score. Once a physician has that, and if he finds out, okay, you are at high risk, you go to the patient and say, this is not just theoretical, you really are at high risk, you need a colonoscopy. So.
Yep.
This is happening in the trenches.
Yeah. No, I love it. And this is exactly why I love healthcare. And, I mean, just think about the money that we can save, the better outcomes that we can create. I completely agree. So now thinking a couple years ahead, or anything you want to share on best practices from your perspective?
Sure. So recognize that artificial intelligence is not about replacing clinicians. It's augmenting them.
Right.
Because there's a lot of this
yes.
fear.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm going to now speak with Dr. Alexa.
Right?
Right. And so the idea is this. I graduated from medical school in 1984. You know, a few things have changed since then.
Right.
And have I read 17 journal articles every day since then to keep up? No.
Yeah.
So do I actually know the prevalence of a disease in a community at a time of year in 2019? I actually don't.
Right.
But AI systems can say, you better consider these things. So put another way, if an AI system can replace your doctor, it should.
Right.
Because doctors are about empathy,
right.
listening, and respect. They just need to be augmented with more wisdom.
It's excellent, excellent. So now thinking a couple years ahead, maybe say 3 years ahead, because right now we're focusing on the here and now with HIMSS and what's going on today. But if you had to get us thinking in advance, what should we be thinking about for 3 years from now in healthcare, or thinking to navigate? What hurdles might we have to navigate in a couple years from now? Or policies or innovations we'd think about in a couple years from now?
Wow. 3 years from now, we'll all have flying cars and Facebook
yeah, exactly.
implants.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So who can imagine? I can't go more than six quarters. You know, sorry about that. But right, what are the trends we're starting to see? So it's very clear that mobile medicine is, as in the book, is absolutely becoming mainstream. There's consumer demand for it. You're going to see the rise of virtual visits. It's a combination of the telemetry in the home gathered with your mobile device in combination with a virtual visit with a clinician that will improve convenience and presumably, you know, patient satisfaction as well as time to cure as we measure your wellness. In fact, let's look at wellness and preventative medicine more than treatment for sickness. Those trends will be important. We already talked about the AI and machine learning. And, you know, certainly there are going to be cloud-hosted decision support service providers that evolve so that I can say, oh, here is my sign and symptom. Here is my medical record. Here is my genome. Here is my background. What do I need to worry about? And I'm thinking of companies like Ada or Babylon Health or Boyi Health that are already starting to do this.
That's excellent. Anything you want to add on to that?
No, we summed it up pretty well.
So what's your goal for the book? What is your main goal for publishing the book? And this is your third book?
Right, third book.
Yeah, it's your third book. And what is your goal for publishing this book?
You might guess that sometimes clinicians are conservative. I'm talking about the ones using fax machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's really important you demystify this technology so that clinicians who are already wildly overburdened and burned out need to understand how it's going to augment their practice and help their patients. And really, that's what the book tries to do.
Excellent.
And the one other thing that we're hoping the book will do is to help folks tell the difference between digital snake oil and really effective mobile apps. So we spent 3 or 4 chapters that talk about mobile apps in healthcare, in diabetes, in heart disease, and in asthma, and critique them so that clinicians can figure out what works and what is useless.
Yeah, and just for all my listeners, we did do a special show on this a couple weeks ago, and it was very informative. So I do recommend all my listeners go check that out. Because what you really do in the book is you do break it down and you explain it very simply. Because this is complex. And mobile medicine, and again, you hit the nail on the head. Doctors are focused on providing care, not learning the best technology that's coming out, and rightfully so, because they need to be the best care provider and best doctor. But you guys break it down very, very well. So appreciate that. I do want to give you 2 minutes on the Unity Farm Sanctuary. I love this venture that you have in Massachusetts. I actually check on it every single day. So tell us about it. Tell my audience about it. You got to.
Well, sure. So like any entrepreneurial venture, you start a company and you pivot. Yeah. So when my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, she said, wouldn't chickens be a good idea? And we traded our small home in Wellesley for a small farm in Sherbourne. And then the chickens grew to llamas and alpacas. Yes. And then we doubled the size of the farm. And then the horses and the cows and the pigs and the donkeys are out. And now we are the animal rescue for the greater Boston area with over 250 animals in our charge. And right now as we are sitting here, it's 17 degrees and snowing in Boston.
Oh, wow.
We got 4 inches today with 0.2 inch of ice on top. And we have to keep 250 animals dry, warm, fed, and their water liquid. So, you know, it's an engineering challenge.
It is.
So, you know, whether it's IT for Harvard or whether it's IT for
the cows.
Horses and cows.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Do you even have housing for that, for them to go inside?
So every animal has an enclosure.
Okay.
And now whether the animal chooses to
go
use
inside
that
it,
enclosure.
That's your
Dudley is a 2,200-pound Scottish Highland Bull from Glencoe, where it's wet and cold and windy and nasty.
He loves this weather.
Yeah.
I know Dudley. I love Dudley. Dr. Lomka, thank you very much. Paul, always a pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thank you for all for supporting the show. Thanks.